Reflections on the Existence of God, Richard E. Simmons, III. Union Hill Publishing, 2019. 299 pages. About the author. Richard Simmons, III, is the founding director of the Center for Executive Leadership, a faith-based ministry in Birmingham, Alabama, focused on counseling businessmen and professionals, which he started in 2001. Introduction. Every chapter in this book contains a number of very short essays on each topic. They are the kind of essays that Peter Kreft called coffee cup size. They can be read during one's morning coffee. As the title indicates, this work is a series of reflections on the existence of God, and the material covers various apologetic, philosophical, and scientific issues. Simmons brings together a large variety of quotes and stories to illustrate his points. Summary. Chapter 1, Introductory Essays. The existence of God is the most important subject in the world. Whether or not God exists has larger consequences than anything else. Everyone has a worldview, and this mental map of how we see and order our understanding of reality affects everything we do. The most important block in our worldview foundation is belief or disbelief in God. Worldviews provide us with our ultimate explanation of the meaning of life. It is important to recognize that truth is not invented, it is discovered. We have a moral and philosophical obligation to seek evidence for important beliefs. How many people have truly investigated the evidence for the existence of God? Everyone should strive to believe responsibly. Prominent former atheists like Francis Collins and C.S. Lewis came to see that faith and reason go together. Many atheists disbelieve God, but they do so without ever having conducted an open-minded investigation of the evidence. The evidence gives us great confidence. Truth, reason, and facts are not generally coercive, however, if someone doesn't want to believe something. For decades, Anthony Flew was one of the most celebrated atheist philosophers in the world, but he followed the evidence to where it led and concluded that there must be a supernatural being who created the universe. He changed his mind because he committed to follow the truth wherever it led. C.S. Lewis was a staunch atheist who also followed the evidence to its final conclusion. He was willing to look at the Gospels and see that they were historically sound and taught the truth. Everyone needs to have the same attitude and be willing to work through the evidence of Christianity, being open to whatever the truth actually is. Chapter 2, The Presence of Evil. The problem of evil is the most often raised issue in apologetics. What do we mean by evil? To say that things are evil requires a standard by which evil is measured. We are saying that there is a way that things ought to be, but things are not as they should be. Atheists do not have a rational account for evil, nor a moral framework in which to be shocked or outraged by it. If we are only the product of materialistic natural selection, there is no such thing as genuine good and evil. Nietzsche is taught in universities, and he wrote that superior people were above traditional definitions of good and evil. Hitler took this philosophy seriously. He also hated Christianity because it held back the natural struggle of natural selection and survival of the fittest. At the Nuremberg war trials, the Allies had to argue on the basis of transcendent law in order to convict the Nazis. What could that law be based on, given atheism? Are human beings merely animals, or simply machines? Today, some people argue that we are, yet there is a clear quantitative difference between humans and animals or machines. Humans experience language, joy, rationality, and significance unlike anything else. Many Russian intellectuals believe that they could destroy God and retain human value, but in destroying God, they destroyed human value as well. A godless regime has no basis for honoring human life. We feel that human life is valuable, but given atheism, this is not a rational feeling. What could cause someone to rationally believe? If humans are animals, that feeding the poor is morally good, but killing a person is different than killing an animal. The only way that human life can be sacred is if we were created in the image of God. If there's no God, then there's no reason not to do whatever we want. Mass shootings or the crimes of Jeffrey Dahmer are all immoral. Dahmer said that since he didn't believe in God, he couldn't find a real reason to deny his desires before he died. It is incoherent to insist that people should act morally while denying that there is a God. In Buddhism, there is no reason to elevate someone's suffering because those who are suffering are working through their karma. The idea of human rights and care for the needy comes from scripture, and it is Christianity which is responsible for the establishment of charities, healthcare, orphanages, and education. Christianity tries to bring the work of God into the lives of others. Pain and suffering can actually bring transformation that moves people towards God rather than away from Him. Christianity seems to flourish in places where people suffer. God built two principles into the world. Number one, the regularity of nature, and number two, human freedom. These go together so that we have genuine free will and we are in an environment where we can grow morally. God did not create evil. He created the possibility for people to do evil. Jesus can deliver us and change our hearts. Chapter 3, The Moral Argument. If there is no God, then Dawkins is right that we merely dance in our DNA and everything is morally indifferent. All of our moral judgments are arbitrary. Nietzsche clearly stated that there is no such thing as right and wrong. Without God, all we have is relativistic, finite options. In the end, those who have the most power can enforce their moral views on others. Christian morality is not restrictive. It is like an owner's manual to teach us the best way to take care in this life. It makes a huge difference for behavior if someone knows Christ. Will Durant was an atheist philosopher, but he said that he believed the lives of common people would fall apart if they didn't believe in God. Biblical morality has an enormous impact on the real world. Without God, there's no basis for objective morality. It seems like we know we are designed to be good, but we don't live up to our ideals. There are moral laws like there are natural laws and consequences for breaking them. The Bible gives us an accurate picture of human beings. We are created in the image of God, but also fallen into sin. Society cannot survive without morality, and morality cannot survive without God. Einstein believed that science could not prove a foundation for morality. Other scientists who have studied the issue agree. Morality cannot be judged by scientific empirical methods. When it comes to morality, atheists are often very inconsistent. They want to throw out the foundation of morality and yet still insist that there is good and evil. People may say that they disbelieve in objective morality, but they cannot live out that position. Without God, morality, value, and beauty are meaningless. And the only real response is to embrace nihilistic despair. Chapter 4, The Search for a Meaningful Life. Prominent atheists and scientists like Richard Dawkins and Stephen Jay Gould acknowledge that we want there to be a deeper purpose for our existence, but they say that there isn't one. Atheism provides for a grim view of life. While some people get lucky and others simply suffer terribly, modern philosophy and art is filled with despair as it analyzes and depicts the meaninglessness of life. People seek diversion from the horrible existential perspective that their atheistic worldview produces. Nonetheless, people cannot escape from a deep sense that there is meaning and purpose for life. Where does this instinctive and ineradicable feeling come from? Innate desire for meaning, purpose, love, and community come from God and are pointers back to Him. If people thought through the implications of their worldview, they'd see that Christianity provides for meaning and joy, whereas atheism truly is bleak. There is no hope in a secular worldview. Worldviews are not the same, and they have real implications for life. They offer radically different perspectives. Christianity is in harmony with reality. The big questions of life never really go away, no matter how hard we try to distract ourselves or fall into busyness. We need to know who we are, why we're here, and what our destiny is. Given atheism, you are nothing more than molecules. There is no reason for your existence, and you are headed to annihilation. Given Christianity, we are the image bearers of God. We are here to know and love God, and our future can be one of eternal life in the kingdom of God through Jesus Christ. Harvard University can serve as a microcosm of society. Harvard was founded as a place to honor and learn about God. Today, Harvard seems like a spiritual desert. The Divinity College there is open to all forms of spirituality. Depression and suicide rates are high as intelligent young people meet with despair in life. The existentialist Albert Camus believed that there was no God and that life was futile. For the last years of his life, however, he was dissatisfied with existentialism and search for truth in church. He ended up embracing God through Christ. Most of his readers never knew this. His atheism was unlivable, and he turned to Jesus. Chapter 5, The Human Experience. The experience of love is the highest goal of human aspiration. In atheism, love can have no real place besides its pragmatic value. Love can only be reduced to the deterministic processes of our atoms. Love is an illusion. Love is seen as a tool of natural selection for the propagation of our genes. Yet we cannot live as if love is only the product of genes and hormones. This reductionalistic view that some people believe cannot be lived out experientially. Love is part of the deep structure of reality. Beauty is something that we experience deep within. In atheism, beauty is nothing more than a chemical reaction. Poetry, art, and music are pointless in atheism. Once again, our atheistic worldview robs us of joy. Many atheists struggle when it comes to facing their approaching deaths. In fact, many seem to turn away from atheism and grope for God at the end. Numerous famous atheists lost confidence in their atheism as they drew near to death. One of the most important and emotional issues dividing society today deals with human sexuality. Are our bodies simply lumps of matter, or do they have dignity? Christianity and atheism have completely different views of bodies, sexuality, and marriage. Empirically, the Christian approach to sexuality is healthier than the secular hookup culture. Sex is subject to natural and moral laws that bring negative consequences if flouted. In history, cultures that flourished are ones with sexual fidelity. People turn to sex and drugs as they search for happiness and fulfillment. Depression and destructive behaviors are increasing as meaning is lost. In Christianity, there is the possibility of discovering real joy. We are not to aim at happiness as a directed end, but rather find happiness in relation to God. Chapter 6, The Psychology of Unbelief. Freud famously argued that our belief in God was wish fulfillment and that we projected our human desires and needs into the creation of a great father who could watch over us. Many today believe that God is a human invention to meet a human need. Christians are accused of having non-rational philosophical reasons for their beliefs, but this is actually true of atheists. Our problems are really heart problems rather than intellectual ones. When people cannot handle the tension in their lives between how they are living and belief in God, they either repent or they reject God. Becoming a Christian is a matter of the will, not so much a state of mind. Many people are not really pursuing truth, they're pursuing pleasure. Sexual desires can keep people away from the truth of God. The human condition is that we want to live for ourselves rather than God. Human beings want to know the truth, yet we also balk when truth is leading where we don't want to go. We can be willingly blind when we don't want to see the truth of reality. In the Nazi regime, many people didn't know what was happening because they didn't want to know. Even in the time of Jesus, people saw the miracles but refused to believe. Amongst atheists, willful blindness is quite common in science. Very often, scientific discoveries and evidence points to design, but atheist scientists don't accept the conclusion. What scientists want to believe affects how they interpret evidence. We have a myth that scientists are objective. But this is simply untrue. To become a Christian may cost some people socially, and that makes them more reluctant to pursue the truth. If we are in a profession or community of secularists, there is a pressure to retain that outlook. Many accept beliefs that others like, rather than vigorously pursuing the truth. When a person has a defective relationship with their father, it is harder for them to believe in a heavenly father. A disproportionately high percentage of atheists experienced the early death of their fathers or had estranged relationships with them. Many famous atheists had very poor relationships with their fathers. There are psychological influences on their atheistic beliefs. Chapter 7, The Battle with Science. There are three main ways that people view the relationship between science and God. First, they are at war. Second, they are having nothing to do with each other. Third, science points to but doesn't prove that God exists. There are numerous top-tier scientists who believe that the scientific evidence points to God. It is important to distinguish between operational science, for example, medical technology and computers, and ongoing science, for example, the study of the world and its past. Theories about the past are not all as sure as the findings of operational science. An enormously important discovery was made by Edwin Hubble, who found empirical evidence for the Big Bang theory. This theory requires an absolute beginning for the universe, and this means that the universe requires a cause. The Big Bang theory is very theistic, and some scientists are on record voicing their displeasure about it because it points to theism. Following the evidence, though, would lead scientists to a theistic conclusion. The search for the origins of life have proved far more difficult than atheists were expecting. Attempts to account for the miracle of life on the basis of naturalistic causes have all failed. Genesis actually seems to contain the most coherent account from a scientific perspective. The God who made the universe also brought forth life upon it. The fine-tuning of the universe is considered by many to be the strongest argument for theism. This argument notes the incredibly mind-boggling improbabilities of the universe having the conditions required to bring about human life. Even atheists are forced to acknowledge that the odds of the universe being life-permitting are unbelievably tiny, to the point where our minds cannot understand the numbers. It's mathematically impossible. Some posit trillions and trillions of universes, and others argue that highly evolved and powerful aliens made our universe. This is an example of willful blindness. One of the incredible features of our universe is that the natural laws can be explicated with mathematical values. It is inexplicable, given atheism, that the universe can be described in mathematical terms. In Christianity, however, this makes sense because it is one way for God to make the world discoverable to us. God created the universe to run according to mathematical laws. Chapter 8, Evolution, A Theory in Crisis. Although many people accept evolution as a fact and not a theory, the evidence of the last 40 years has caused the theory to enter into crisis. Many top-ranked scientists do not believe that Darwin's theory can stand up, and some recognize that sometimes it is ideology that trumps the evidence. The fossil record does not line up with what Darwin's theory would predict. Microevolution is a fact, but macroevolution is not in evidence anywhere. The links in the fossil record that Darwin predicted are simply not there. Despite it being 150 years since Darwin, the missing links in the fossil record have not been found. Evolutionary charts are not based on actual fossil evidence, but inferences that need to be accepted to support the theory. Some of the most famous scientists in the world, like Stephen Jay Gould, have rejected Darwinian gradualism because of the lack of evidence for it. They endorse punctuated equilibrium instead. The ambiguous illustrations we have seen of apes turning into cavemen, which turn into Homo sapiens, have no evidence to support them. There is either a tiny bit of skeleton presented as a whole, or, in some cases, there is deliberate fraud. The evidence is not there, but some people are desperate to manufacture it. Natural selection has a difficult time accounting for the human eye. If a telescope is clearly designed, how much more the eye, which is far more intricate and specialized? Given evolutionary theory, the eye would have had to evolve over millions of years, but until it was fully functioning, it would have bequeathed any survival advantages as an adaptation to be selected. Some prominent doctors and experts on the eye have insisted it could not be formed by evolution. Mathematically, the current global population can be accounted for on the basis of two people about 28 generations ago. Although I once thought that the Adam and Eve story might be allegorical, I now think that it makes the most sense as a historical description of the specific creation of the first two human beings. The more we learn about the intricate nature of life and molecules, the more amazing the design of life is seen to be. Some scientists are honest that they accept materialism not because of the evidence, but because of the pre-commitment and basis towards it. There's a great deal of emotion rather than pure rationality behind many scientific opinions. For many, evolution isn't accepted on the basis of the evidence, but on the basis of its foundational place in support of an atheistic worldview. Chapter 9, The Existence of God. If there is a supernatural supreme being, it needs to reveal to us its identity if we are to know him. The greatest revelation of God is found in Jesus Christ, the Son of God incarnate. Jesus claimed to be God, but it was with Jesus that we should begin. Christianity is historically feasible as a religion since it makes particular historical claims. Archaeology and historical investigation strengthens our confidence in the Bible's claims. There's no doubt that Jesus lived as a real person. All the alleged mythological parallels to dying and raising God do not line up with the resurrection account of Christ. These myths are ahistorical, but the historicity of Christ is a sure and certain fact. Jesus is presented as a completely unique figure. He is presented as the Messiah, the Son of God. There's no possibility of neutrality at this point. You either accept or reject this story. No matter what one thinks, however, certain realities need to be accounted for. For example, no human being in the history of the world has had the impact that Jesus of Nazareth had. Yet Jesus was not rich or politically or militarily powerful. Jesus' teachings and ethics transformed the world. Rather than dominating the world in arrogance, Jesus lived a life of powerful humility. The truth of Christianity hinges on the historical event of the resurrection. Numerous people have set out to debunk Christianity and end up concluding that the resurrection actually occurred. Even some prominent secular thinkers who have studied the issues end up agreeing on a wide cluster of facts which require explanation, and that the best explanation is the resurrection. After Jesus died on the cross, there was a total life-transforming change in the disciples. They insisted this change came because they had seen the risen Christ. They died for this belief. The tomb where Jesus was buried was empty. Nothing accounts for all the data more plausibly than the fact of the resurrection. Numerous Old Testament prophecies were fulfilled by the life and death of Jesus. Time and time again, the New Testament shows how Jesus fulfilled the messianic prophecies. There is no possibility that all of these prophecies were fulfilled by Jesus on the basis of chance. Today, as throughout history, there are countless stories of lives that have been totally transformed by Jesus. Chapter 10, Final Reflections. It is simply inconceivable that over time, the type of matter that makes up the physical world became self-consciously aware of itself. How does a bubble of molecules take a first-person's perspective and become an I? Atheists simply cannot explain how matter can develop capacity for subjective consciousness. Some have even been so irrational as to claim that consciousness is an illusion. As Andrew Flew realized, consciousness and mind and self cannot come from impersonal, non-sentient molecules. It is irrational for atheists to have no idea how consciousness can exist, and yet for them to refuse to consider that the source of consciousness is God. One of the great problems with the atheistic worldview is that it contains a tremendous contradiction between logic and life. It cannot be lived out. Secularists want purposeless evolution and also human rights and value. Yet if every human feature comes from evolution, then we cannot label such things as immoral, like rape, that evolved creatures do naturally. Given evolution, we simply do what we do, and we shouldn't be praised or blamed for it. In naturalism, we are not free, we are robots. Emotionally, we recoil from this view and cannot accept it. In contrast, the Christian worldview makes all of our experience intelligible and coherent. It is livable. A God-centered worldview makes more sense out of life than any alternative. It is compassionate and humane. In the end, it simply has more explanatory power than atheism. God sent his Son into the world so that we could know him and receive God's love. He has given us all the evidence we need for belief. Emotions may run deep, but they are not enough to lead to conclusions about reality. People reject God because of their hearts rather than because of their minds. In the end, we need to use our wills and make a choice. Everyone must look somewhere. We need to look to Jesus for eternal life. We cannot be neutral. Copyright 2021, Books at a Glance. Books at a Glance book summaries are available by subscription only, and except for brief quotes, may not be reproduced in part or in whole without express written permission.